Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey. Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Tsakarellis.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches, betches.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Ann.
Nancy, Cease, and Desisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
And
Mina, Coochie, Coochie, Coochie.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Is what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. There's a new episode that's premiering on Thursday, okay? So everyone go to YouTube and subscribe and watch, because I'm really excited about it, and I put a lot of work into it. And joining me is someone who also works super, super, super hard, because he co-hosts not only this podcast, but also the Roast Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hi.
I'm looking at Ronnie's beautiful face because this episode is a Crappens on Demand episode, which is available to our Patreon supporters. Go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens and you can watch it, as well as get access to our bonus episodes and all sorts of other fun stuff. Now, in case you didn't hear the big news, we are going to Tampa and Fort Lauderdale this week. Hello. My first time in both of those cities. I'm very excited. In Tampa, we're going to be recapping the season premiere of New Jersey, which will be out of control. You do not want to miss that because I'm sure we will have lots of things to say on and off the podcast. And then we go the next day to Fort Lauderdale, where we'll be recapping Dallas. Dallas has just been like an unending supply of amazingness for us with our live shows. So come to Revolution Live on
Revolutionary
Friday.
Live.
Revolutionary
it's
Live.
Revolutionary.
Revolutionary, okay? And then the rest of our shows, we've got Indianapolis, Chicago, New York, St. Louis, Philadelphia, Denver, Seattle, the Golden Crappies in L.A., Detroit, Columbus, Ohio, Austin, Houston, Birmingham, Alabama, New Orleans, Kansas City, Omaha, Salt Lake City, and brand new shows, Vancouver, Orlando, and Charleston. Those go on sale on Friday, but Patreon members can get those tickets right now. And if you see a late show on our schedule, I highly recommend you go check out our late shows, because that's usually when we're a little drunker or a little more tired, and as a result, things are crazier, and the audience is usually crazier. And anyone who's been to our late shows can tell you, it's crazy. So,
yeah.
So come do that. And today, unless there's anything else you have to add to that, Ronnie?
Go get your t-shirts. We've got Shannon Boldora for another week or so, along with When Life Gives You Tacos, Make Tacos Solid, and Twerp and Dork shirts. So go get those right now at crappensmerch.com. You can find the links at watchwhatcrappens.com, along with our bonus episodes from Patreon. This week's has Katie Cazorla, and it's also Crappens On Demand video, okay?
Well,
and other than that, no, let's get on to Real Housewives of the Orange County.
Can I say something about Orange County?
Please.
You know, there's a lot of people online who are saying things like, ugh, I'm ready for it to be over already. Or now that New Jersey's back, like, let's put Orange County to rest, yada, yada, yada. I'm sorry. I'm loving this season. I'm
loving it too.
I think it's a really good season. To me, it's like Orange County doing what Orange County does best. They're, like, gossiping. They're getting into drama. I feel like everything is finally working again after three or four off seasons. And I'm like, I want people to have an open mind about it because sometimes it takes a while. Like, New Jersey, we were saying New Jersey was back a few seasons ago, but it really wasn't until this past year that people, like, fully accepted it back. And I want people to start welcoming Orange County back because they were in a hole. And I think they've clawed their way back out. And I think it's really good. And this episode had me laughing and also enthralled. So, like, golf clap.
Yeah, I'm mostly with you. I think that some of it I could do without, like, everyone crying over their miserable human or husbands or trash human trash husbands is what I was trying to say. But that is what this show is known for. The terrible men on it.
Yeah.
And the women just making the worst choices as far as men goes. And also it's known for some of the pettiest fights on Bravo.
Absolutely.
I mean, and just misunderstanding what they're saying and then fighting over nothing. And then it turns again. And this episode really was chock full of that.
And, you know, I think, honestly, the show might work best when Tamara is in full villain mode. And the past few seasons, she's been trying to do a Jesus thing and, like, nice girl thing. And, like, as vile and as terrible as Tamara is, when she's the villain, the show kind of comes alive. And she's getting the villain edit for the first time in a long time this season. And I'm, like, really happy about it.
Yeah, it's good to see Tamara getting called out by editors, for sure. Because they have let her get away with so much shit over the years, and they're calling her on every little... And Tamara's doing this thing where she's doing what she does, but she's just, like, punching in. You know what I mean? She's like, here I am at work, let me start some shit with this girl. And she's not fully invested as a villain. She's trying to be lazy, is what she's trying to do. She's like, I got the Christians on my side now, so people are being nicer to me online. I'm getting away with more, and I really don't want to fight with anybody, so I'm going to have them fight with each other, and then I'll just look like the nice one. But they're finally catching on.
I know. I thought it was like I had like an adrenaline rush by the end of this episode, but we are going to get to it. So let's like dive into it. The episode opens up with Tamara declaring that she's going to Scottsdale, as if anyone cares. I don't know why we had to have a moment where we find out that Tamara's going to Scottsdale, but she's going.
I mean, I will give her this. That's probably the fanciest thing she's ever said.
I'm surprised she didn't follow it up with, like, Scottsdale. Sounds almost like Scott's dick. Huh? I love that.
Yeah, bitch. So she's in the car with Shannon. And Shannon's like, well, I'm still recovering because I went out with Bronwyn and Gina for a girl's night.
Oh, it was fun. Let me tell you something. If Kelly had said that about me or about you, which is I'm assuming she's talking about saying that she would rather, the only event she wants to go to with Vicky is Vicky's funeral. She's like, if Kelly had said that about me or about you, I would not stop crying. I'd be crying tears from my eyes down my cheeks into my stomach crying.
And Shannon, you wouldn't be crying. You're actually the only person who's had a funeral for herself.
Yeah,
like
that's
I'm
true.
Sure you probably would have invited people to your damn funeral. Okay, how could Kelly Todd say that she doesn't want to come to my funeral? How could she say that?
What was funny for me? So I actually have not even gotten a chance to watch last week's episode. Because I was out of the country, man. And I literally have not had a minute to watch it. I'm going to have to watch it on the plane to Fort Lauderdale. So I didn't get to see. I will watch it. But what's funny is in the flashbacks, all I see, I know they had a tea party, but I see Shannon and I see Tamara in the back of this car. And then I see Vicky and her face is just like a mess. Like it's just got like green shit all over it. And I mean, I know that they probably put cake in her face or something. But like without like any context, it was the funniest thing ever. Just like two very well presented women, and then Vicky just like smears on her face and just like weird bits of like anonymous goo hanging everywhere.
Yes, like she was standing next to a blender when the gremlin fell in.
Yeah,
or whatever.
And like no one's acknowledging it.
Yeah, and she's crying. It's like a dramatic scene. She's like, yeah. I would never want her. She's not invited to my funeral. She's not invited to my funeral. Well, thankfully, they did show the entire episode again tonight in flashbacks, calling Tamara out on lying her ass off. And Shannon, too. You're not innocent either, abuelita. So let's stop with this whole, both of you are so innocent. So, so Tamara's like, well, but, you know, like, Vicky. You know, Vicky's the one that said she's a coke addict, she pulls a trend, you know, those are very life-altering things. So I kind of, we've been on the other side of that. Remember how she said Eddie was gay and the David Mitchell?
Yeah. So basically, Shannon is saying she doesn't understand. Like, she thinks that, like, Kelly's always given a pass. She has this show. Kelly goes off on people, and she says the nastiest things, and she's given a pass. And then Tamara, oddly enough, is sticking up for her, talking about how Vicky, like, has done awful things. So Shannon is very much like, you know, Tamara is, like, very much a flip-flopper when it comes to Vicky and to Kelly, and it's getting annoying for Shannon.
Yes, but... You know, Tamara's also the one who started all of these fights of that they're talking about. Like, Tamara was the one who brought up the train. Tamara was the one who brought up the coke shit. Well, no, Vicky brought the coke shit up. But then
Tamara
this one
is
that,
the
yeah, Tamara's
she
yeah.
Is.
I mean, I don't have to list them all, but I mean, literally this entire fight, Tamara started.
And then on top of that, Tamara has the audacity. To say, I think that, like, I'm just more compassionate than Shannon.
Yeah.
You know, I just give everyone the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Like, she's black and white, but, like, I'm only white. Ask Ryan. That we are in my family.
Don't
I
let
believe
my
in white power.
Confuse you. Only white. So.
So then Kelly's with Jolie, and Kelly's just being Kelly, as Kelly as possible. It's like one of those, look at what a good mom, look how hardworking this single mom is. It's like Kelly in a bustier and a jogging jacket or something. It's like, I can't find the dog food. Your dad gave it to me and I lost it. Where's the dog food? That's the dog going to eat. Yesterday his pills are so hard.
By the way, Ronnie, a few people have posted this. I don't know if you saw it, but. Did you see that video of the mountain lion? That sounds like your impersonation of Kelly Dodd.
No.
Because, you know, like, because we both have two slightly different ones, but they're distinct, right? Like, mine's like, you're a dork, you're a dork. I lean into the whoa, whoa, whoa noise, and you go, whoo, that's yours. And like, literally two different people posted about this mountain lion that was like meowing, and this is how it meowed. It was like meow, meow, meow.
Oh, like, I need to go look for that.
Does this mountain lion look like Kelly Dodd? Sound like Kelly Dodd?
You're
a dork, Giselle. Giselle.
Jolie's like, you can't serve chicken soup to a dog, okay? It's like an old dog. She's like, yes, you can. It has vegetables. It's organic.
It has vegetables. It's good for it. They like vegetables. You're a dork.
It's really hard taking care of a geriatric dog all the time, especially by myself. You got to make sure he takes the pills. Like, I got to walk him four times a day so he doesn't poop in the house. I mean, it's like, now I know how Steve feels being married to Vicky.
And then Jolie is basically starts talking about how, like, there's some biatch in her grade who talks shit about everyone, so no one's gonna go to her party. Kelly is kind of like, wow, that's basically what we are. We're like pretty much the same level as Jolie's, like, petty middle school, you know, fights.
Yeah, and Kelly says, you should call her a Monday. She goes, why? Because nobody likes a Monday. She's like, that's true, Mom. She's like, your friends loving my jokes.
She's like, you haven't had new material in 2 years, Mom. Yes, I have.
Suck my dick! She's like doing the football thing on her crotch.
So, meanwhile, Shannon and Tamara have decided they're going to have a sit-down with Kelly to let her know, as friends to friends, that what you're doing is just making you look bad, okay? Yeah. And we just want to say, as your friends who start rumors around you, about you, behind your back, we want you to realize what's going on and how people are seeing you when you react to the rumors that we've started about you.
Yeah, exactly. So then Gina at her shrinks. Okay, listen with this. Shrink, you're not doing your job. A shrink should have said, oh my, first of all, the shrink has one of the most depressing offices. Are you in a WeWork? Like, what is this office? It's not even as nice as a WeWork. It's like some sad room. It's like the room of a divorced dad who just got kicked out of the house, you know, in a really bad motel. It's a bad room. Very depressing.
Yeah, it's a bad Econo Lodge of WeWork.
Yes. Thing. Yes. It's like a Motel 6 of WeWorks. And,
it's like someone put up a wall in a kitchen, and like on the other side is the kitchen, and then like she's got the other side of the kitchen, but there's no kitchen stuff in there. That's why they put up a wall in the first place. And
yes.
Then like later on, during a House Hunters episode, like a flip or flop episode, in 20 years, they're going to take down that wall and be like, these rooms used to be connected.
Yes. Also, Gina's coming in with that hair and just that like mope. I mean, you should, it's like...
And that...
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, and just all of it. You know, you're not doing your job is what I'm saying, Lynette.
You know what, Lynette? I, her, Lynette Wilhard. You know what, Ronnie? You were coming down on her. She just looked exhausted. The moment that Gina walked in, she just looked exhausted. Like, oh, God, this one again. All right. Let's see if I can get through this, Lynette. You can do this. I don't think that she wasn't doing... Maybe she wasn't doing her job, but maybe that's because she's been trying to do her job. And eventually, when it comes to Gina, you just give up and you just sit there and just let her say something.
No, I think she's that lady. You go in for an oil change and then she just doesn't ever do it right. You know, and your oil's leaking all over a driveway now. And you're like, God, I shouldn't have gone to Jiffy Lube. I should have gone to the fucking dealership. Yeah, yeah, you know, like Lynette's just like bad. Or, you know, like she fixes a car, but then you come in, your radiator's busted next. It's like, yeah, it's always something with her. Just fix the fucking car, Lynette, or send it off to get crunched in a junkyard, yeah, or something. Stop, so we can start over.
Stop putting third-party, you know, parts into my Toyota, Lynette.
Yeah, stop putting third-party parts into Gina, okay? She's like, Gina's basically like an old cracked washer at this point, okay, Lynette?
Gina already has an uphill battle because she's basically like a Yugo. So it's already like, even if she put like, you know, proper parts, you know, dealership parts into Gina, it would still be an uphill battle. But then you're going to put third-party parts in. It's like, man.
Yeah. Gina updates her. She's like, you know, I'm good here, but last time was a disaster when I was here, but then with Matt it was okay, and we decided to go to dinner, and it was like a Matt I hadn't seen forever, so of course we boned. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. And Lynette's just like, how was it? Was it great? Do you feel great about it?
Lynette, do your job.
Get a fly swatter and swat her on the fucking head and tell her, stop acting like a jackass, okay? You have other lives involved here. It's not just you, okay? You've got a whole fucking caravan to worry about here. Stop acting like a fucking idiot, okay? Washer.
And poor Gina, she doesn't know what to do. She's like, I don't know if it's better to be with Matt for the kids or not be with him for the kids or be with him for the cable or not be with him so I can get another gather sign. I don't know what's best. I'm like, I'll tell you, stay away from him. He cheated on you and now he's playing very obvious mind games. You only have to watch 5 minutes of a Lifetime movie to see what's going on here, okay? It's a power play. He is fucking with you. He is literally fucking you so that way he can fuck with you. So just stay away and move on to another person.
Yes, and this has been, you know, I remember at the beginning of the season, because we were reading about everything that Gina is going through in real life, and I don't really like talking too much about the real life gossip stuff, because I like, you know, we recap the shows. But she's going through an extremely difficult time, and I remember being like, I'm not going to make fun of that. That's just too much. She's going through a rut. But at this point, you know what? Just while we're on the Lifetime subject, you don't always like the hero in the Lifetime movie either. Yes, the husband is chasing her around with a knife. Yes, he's a monster. Yes, he's Rob Lowe, okay? No one wants to jump on Rob Lowe's side. But sometimes it's like Tori Spelling at her worst, and you're not necessarily rooting for her either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want to see her get knifed to death, but you're definitely like, I could be watching a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like... Yeah, exactly. I could be watching Big Business for the 45th time. And the thing is that, I mean, Gina, I mean, you know, it's tough because I don't know what happened in her life that she's drawn to this guy who obviously walks all over her. And then, like, when she has a moment of independence, he can't deal with it and now tries to tear her down again and try to exert power. And, like, and apparently he's been saying all this stuff like, we're just going to fall back into the way it used to be, et cetera, et cetera. You know, at the same time, what she winds up saying, talking about is that he's been guilting Gina about this whole divorce situation, making it seem like, you know, like she's the one destroying the family when he's the one who cheated and he's the one who's not putting in the time and like lived in like, you know, up in like Ojai or wherever he was. And then like when she starts talking about how she is going to be like, you know, she wants to go to Palm Springs to go on a date with this guy that she likes, but she doesn't know if she should tell Matt because he told her that he doesn't like it when she goes on dates with other people. Meanwhile, he cheated on her and then is still with the other woman.
It is scary because she's like, you know, I don't want to make him feel angry because he runs hot. You know, he runs real hot. He's got a temper. And it's like, oh, geez, this is just
especially
not
when
good.
We know what really happened. You know?
Yeah, this is just not cool. It's not good to watch. Now, all like, of that depression aside.
You can't blame the victim. It's not like, oh, fuck her for not. But it's more like one of those things where you just are almost.
Oh,
to
right.
Me, it's like,
yeah.
I just want to shake her and be like, don't you see what's happening here? But easier said than done.
Yeah, no, it's not blaming the victim. It's just saying the victim is also annoying me. But
the victim,
you know,
can be like... annoying.
Right, right.
You're the real victims here.
Yeah, I'm conflicted, is what I'm saying, just by being annoyed by when I shouldn't be annoyed.
David? David? I think it's time to go to commercial. Do you want to go to commercial, David? David? David?
This November.
You think you do it for the money?
It's the game, the adrenaline rush. What if it is?
Prepare to read between the lines.
How much do you think she's worth?
I'm going to take it all.
The Good Liar is gripping and deliciously deceptive, says Baz Bamigboy, Daily Mail. Intelligent and brilliant. A must-see movie. Event, Mail on Sunday.
It's very peculiar. Secrets between you, God, the devil, and the dead.
Starring Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen. The Good Liar. In cinemas Friday. Book tickets now. Certificate 15.
The ID Mobile Black Friday event is now on. Check out some of our best ever SIM-only deals and save up to £339 on the latest smartphones. That's £339 you can spend on other stuff, like 5,000 Ultra LED lights for your Christmas tree.
Oh,
grab a great deal today in the ID Mobile Black Friday event at idmobile.co.uk. Offers end 2nd of December, subject to change and while stocks last. T's and C's apply. See website for details.
So then we go over to, speaking of being annoyed and not being able to do anything about those feelings, let's go see what Shannon's doing at the Driftwood Kitchen with Shannon.
Driftwood. That's I know what that feels like after a 12-year relationship with David. I certainly know what it feels like to be cast aside and let to float along into an ocean of despair.
So Shannon orders a skinny margarita with Patron. And I just love when people order alcohol for lunch. And then they order like another one. And then they're like, I've got to go. My kids have a show. My kids are in the school play. It's like, yes, that is how to do it. People are like, Ronnie's mom is here again. And it's like, yeah, we practice those lines, idiot. It's like heckling me from the fucking stage.
I mean, do you want to watch Bye Bye Birdie in the local Orange County production of, you know?
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Alan. What's the story? Morning glory. What's the word? Hummingbird. Did you hear about Hugo and Kim? Yes, I do want to go watch fucking Bye Birdie. And
kids. Yes. What's wrong with kids today? Just wait and see. Kids. Bop. Why can't they be like we were? Perfect in every way.
What's the matter with kids today? Sorry, I bum rushed the stage. I'm just a little drunk right now.
Why can't they take their drug test without complaining?
I love you, Birdie. Oh, yes, I do. I love you, Birdie. This much is true. When I'm not near you, I'm blue. Oh, David, I love you. Did I say the lyric wrong? Did I say it wrong?
Why did the audience leave? David?
Here lies Shandador. I thought I killed it on Bye Bye Birdie, but it turns out I was the one who was killed by the audience.
So Kelly comes in behind them and is like, and like shakes their shoulders and like, oh!
Shannon's like, ah!
Yeah, but they don't laugh. They're like, should we be a victim about this? Well, it's good to see you, Kelly. Oh, look, there's brain fluid coming out of my ears.
You re-aggravated my brain injury. My brain had just settled into its mush, and you just shook it out again. And I cannot see. Is my hand in front of my face? I do not know. Is it close? Is it far? Is it? I just slash smacked myself. No death perception.
So Kelly's like, you look pretty, Shannon. Whoa, what happened to you? You look pretty. Why do you look so pretty? Why does Shannon look pretty? Hey, look, Shannon looks pretty. It's crazy. It's like, well, that is what being hungover looks like. And Kelly just stares at her.
So Kelly's basically like, so I heard you were talking shit about me. Bronwyn told me. Why are you talking shit about me? Why are you talking shit about me? And by the way, keep in mind the entire purpose of this meeting was for the women to be like, Kelly, you can't be saying that shit about Vicky. Spoiler alert, the subject is never even, they don't even get to broach it. Not now or not later, because things get derailed so quickly.
So Tamara's like,
First of all, I don't understand Bronwyn's motivation. Colin Kelly, why don't you call Kelly?
Well, Tamara, because Tamara. That's what happens when you come and you start turning everyone against each other, you know? Of course, Kelly, of course she's going to call. Why shouldn't she call Kelly? What?
Tamara, you always call everyone the moment something happens. Gina, like, missed her court date, you know? And it's like every single thing. Like, Tamara's the biggest gossip, and now she doesn't understand Bronwyn's motivation to tell Kelly, her closer friend.
So Kelly's like, well, she's my friend. That's why she called me. You know, she's a Tuesday. I mean, it's better than a Monday. You don't really like it, but it's there. And you have to go through it. And I mean, it's better than any other Monday.
So Tamara's like,
Bronwyn's a hump day is what she is.
So Tamara's like, yeah, but Bronwyn, she was the one talking the most smack. She was the ring ledger. The ring lapis.
She was the ling dinger.
Ling dinger.
She was the sing dong dong. That's nuts. I don't know words.
She was the lychee nut. Wait, what was it?
So she's like, well, that's funny because she trashed you. And she's like, what? Bronwyn talks smack about me? She's like, yeah.
You know, that another was talking about, I'm just going to put it out there. There's a lot of talk about you not being there. And Bronwyn was the ringlinger talking.
And Shanna's like, yeah, well, she said you had a fight with someone. Ring any bells, ling ringer? Well, in front of Brian's son. And then you went on your Instagram story and said you broke up. And then you left. And Ed was in front of his son. He was in front of his son. It's like, okay,
yeah,
Shannon.
That was a huge scene.
And then Shannon is both trying to lie for Tamara at the same time as she's helping Tamara try to bring down everybody else. She's actively lying with Tamara, so...
Exactly. And then we see a flashback, which, again, this was news to me because I hadn't seen last week's episode. And we see Bronwyn, and she's
shame,
like...
Shame, shame.
I was like, this is shame. Not what Bronwyn said. Bronwyn's basically like, well, you know, Kelly and Brian showed her something, and she was upset, and they just sort of stayed apart for the rest of the evening, and then they left, you know. I was like, wait. First of all, that's, like, not gossipy. It's just like, oh, this is what happened. And... Like,
well, the reason she did it is because Tamara said, yeah, well, we had Kelly got in a bar fight with some girl and almost broke someone's hand. And so Bron was like, no. And then Shannon's like, yeah, and they were fighting in front of the sun. And no. They start going off on all this shit. And Bron was like, no. I've been with Kelly when she got in a fight with him before. And they both left and stopped fighting so they wouldn't be fighting in front of the sun. That's basically what
happened. And then on top of that, Bronwyn said, and then the next day, everything was fine.
Yes.
So that's not really talking trash, right?
Right. So Kelly is defensive. So she's like, well, Brian showed me a text in an inappropriate time. And I was like, this is inappropriate. And then we immediately left because we didn't want to fight in front of the kid. And Shannon's like, well, she said that you fought in front of the kid, so...
Yeah, and that you murdered someone at the party, so sorry, bitch. So now they call up Bronwyn on speaker, and Bronwyn's, like, so excited to get a phone call. She's like, hi. And Kelly's like, why would you bring up the Brian thing? Why would you bring that up? Why would you bring that up? And Bronwyn's like, I didn't bring it up. And Tamara's like,
Before she can say Tamara brought it up, because that is who brought it up, Tamara's like,
hi, it's Tamara. Okay, it's Tamara. Okay, it's Tamara. What are you saying? What are you saying, liar? What are you saying, liar?
Yeah. And she's like, Tamara, and Bronwyn's like, I 100% did not bring that up. I did not bring that up. And then we see a flashback of Shannon, pretty much what you just said. Tamara just told us a story that Kelly got into a bar fight this weekend. And Emily's like, yeah, I saw a picture, but they took it down. And then Bronwyn's like, no, this is what happened. It's literally what you just said.
Yeah.
But the initiation was, if anything from that clip, the initiation was from Shannon. But truly, if we were to believe Shannon, the initiation was...
In the car, which we also saw when Tamara told him in the car. And she's telling Vicky, Kelly's enemy. So it's like, Tamara, it's just so silly. So the editors are just calling them out because every time they tell a lie, the editors show a clip, which totally contradicts them. So then Tamara knows that she's getting in trouble because Bron was sticking up for herself. So Bron was flustered, and she's like, all I said was that you guys aren't getting along, and I didn't bring it up. I mean, I just said that I've seen you fight before. And she's like, yes, you did.
You said it, so you're lying.
And Bronwyn is going nuts because she's like, this is ridiculous. So then Tamara starts doing that condescending thing, like, take a breath. Mm-mm. And Bronwyn goes, I'm like at home with my family, okay? And I'm
taking a phone call, like, I'm not going to get steamrolled, okay? In fact, I even wrote it on my chalkboard and said, not going to get steamrolled, but you apparently can't see it through the phone. So that's too bad. Waste of chalk.
And she's like, yeah, you're not going to steamroll because the truth is the truth is the truth. The truth is the truth is the truth.
And so Bronwyn's like, yeah, I thought I was helping by telling a story that was way less terrible than this story they're trying to tell about Kelly getting into some bar fight or whatever.
Yeah.
So and Kelly's like, well, I've never said anything bad about you to anyone, Bronwyn. Ooh!
Yeah, and by the way,
Kelly has totally fallen for it.
Exactly. And by the way, they also, in the middle of all this, they show another flashback of Bronwyn literally saying, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, it's like the most benign thing ever.
And Tamara's like, just hang up. Just not going to tell you the truth. Alas, alas, alas. Hang up, bitch.
So Kelly finally does. And Bronwyn's, you know, trying to apologize on the other end of the line. So they hang up. And Tamara's like,
well, she's full of shit. And when I sat at that table, it started with Bronwyn. Then it went to Emily. Then it went to Gina. Then it went to Becca. And I just sat there like this. And I walked away.
It's like, whatever, Tamara.
Yeah, she sat there quietly. I'm sure she sat there quietly. If she was quiet, it's because she was doing her, like, invisible straw face.
Yeah, she started everything, and no one even said anything bad about it, you know? And they had the opportunity to, because they were all gossiping, but yeah, Tamara started it, and then was like,
I can't sit here and listen to people talk bad about Kelly.
And then went and called Kelly and tattletaled. And they did it right in front of, like, the bathroom.
Yeah.
They couldn't even get in the bathroom. They had this big fight conversation right in front of, like, the man and woman stall and a handicap stall, you know?
Yeah.
Sign.
So so then after they hang up, I'm wrong. I stand corrected. They do talk to Kelly about, like, how she, the things that she said to Vicky.
Yeah.
And basically, Tamara's like, you know, we love you, but, like, your delivery is off. It's, like, super off. And Kelly's like, it was a joke. You never told a joke before? It was a joke.
And Tamara said, yeah, it was a joke. That's true. It was a joke. Then why are you fucking repeat it and try getting her in trouble,
you asshole?
So Shannon's like, well, I got mad about it. Okay, I got mad. And Kelly's like, you got mad about me making a joke? Come on, I was being facetious.
Yeah, she's like, I was being facetious. You don't think that's funny? It's absolutely asinine. It's asinine. Facetious. Facetious and asinine.
Well, I don't think that death should be joked about. If you are going to use death inappropriately, it should be to try and solve a marriage and explain to David why he has hurt you so deeply.
And Kelly goes, it's a celebration of life. It's a play on words. It's a celebration of life and a play on words. I want to just, next time I want to see Vicky, we'll be at her funeral. That's a celebration of life and words. Wordplay.
It's basically Coco.
Yeah.
It's basically Coco, okay?
Remember me? Yeah.
So she goes, she tells us, none of them get my humor because you have to be kind of smart to get. What is it you get? Sarcasm. That's right. You gotta be smart.
Queen of snarcasm. You're a dork. This is a dorky song. Stop the song.
You're a Monday is what you are.
So then Shannon, they're still at this like boozy lunch, which is maybe a dinner also. I can't tell. And so Shannon's like,
well, Kelly Dodd, even though I appreciate that you celebrate life and good wordplay, but I heard that you got into a fight with someone and maybe broke their hand. Ha!
Well, so she's super mad at Tamara, so this is why she said that. Because Tamara was like, well, we're going to go in there and we're going to let Kelly have it, right? So Shanna's ready to, like, have this deep talk with Kelly, and now Tamara's all on Kelly's side already. She's like, well, you know what, whatever, it was just sarcasm, I get it. So Shanna's like, well, you were the one who told the story about how she got in a bar fight and almost broke someone's hand. And Tamara's like,
no, I said that in private, and you repeated it. I told you in private in front of Becca and cameras. That's that. You told everybody else.
Yeah, and Kelly's like, you shut the fuck up. That's a fucking lawsuit waiting to happen. Why would you even bring that up? And she was like, she
brought it up. I didn't bring it up. I'm doing my windshield wipers, but if I could, I would have them both point towards Tamara, but I can't help but have my hands just cross over themselves like this.
And Tamara's like, no, Shannon. And then cut to clip of Tamara saying it in the car. And Shannon's like, just stop it, Tamara. So now they're fighting with each other because Tamara's such... They're both fucking liars. Shannon and Tamara are both lying, right?
Well, because now Tamara's like... Because the clip shows Tamara saying, so I saw Kelly yesterday and she got into a bar fight. So then Tamara goes... Now Tamara's trying to change it to like... Like, I didn't tell anyone, but I told you that. You're my best friend. And you brought up the whole table. You're the one who brought up to everyone. It's like, yeah, well, you know that about Shannon. And you told it to Shannon on purpose, knowing that then Shannon would say it and your hands would be clean, allegedly.
Yes. And Kelly's like, well, Brian, okay, well, here's what happened. There's a girl in the bar that Brian knows. Did she get in my face? She did. And she got my personal space, and so I threw her hand away. That's what happened. That's it. That's what happened. I got hit in the head with the microphone.
She's like, are you fucking out of your mind? And Shannon's like,
we're here, Kelly, we are here as your friends who undermine you behind your back, and when you confront them, we'll then just tear each other apart.
Why is everyone against me? Everyone's always against me. She starts doing that, like, cry, sob thing she does. Yeah. And Tamara's like, we're not against you. We love trains. We just want the world to see the best coke-addicted whore friend that we know. Yeah. And Kelly's like, I don't even know what to trust anymore. And this is when Shannon's like, I've got to get to my friends. My kids play. They have a play today. Do you think I can get a tequila to go?
I need to get really drunk before I see the 7th grade production of Ibsen. Thank you.
So now we go over to Bronwyn and Emily paddleboarding. They paddleboard. Emily looks great in her bathing suit, I think. I feel like there is like a certain segment of men who probably had huge boners watching her in that thing. So they're paddleboarding around in the water, which is about as thrilling as my description of it is.
I know. I was just sitting here like, wow, he's going to really try and make something out of that. Can't wait to see how this goes.
Yeah.
So Good luck, Ben. Good luck. I love you, buddy.
They paddle around. Emily basically crashes into several small yachts, and then they come back to the beach.
The best part of that little scene was that the little ad on the bottom of the screen, did you see it? It said, no. They have tres amigas. We have threesomes. Temptation Island. What the hell?
So basically when they sit down again on the beach or whatever, Bronwyn starts telling Emily about this whole crazy situation with how she got a phone call that was essentially like an ambush. And Emily was like, no, you were not talking shit. You were trying to mitigate a situation, I remember clearly.
Yeah, and Bronwyn was like, she's a lawyer, so I'm going to take her to lunch with everybody, because people believe lawyers. I mean, they might not show up to the lunch, but, you know, that's Gina. Everyone else should be there. So Shannon is with her kids. Well, she's with Sophie.
Yes.
I'm making broccoli, cauliflower rice, and making it in batches so I can keep up my weight. So happy with this choice!
It's so delicious, and I have no temptations. Sophie, do you want any broccoli cauliflower rice? It tastes like cardboard, but it smells like a different brand of cardboard. Do you want some? You want some? It's delicious.
She's like, no, I'm getting Mexican food. Fuck that. So all the kids come down, and Shannon is talking about how Sophie can't stay alone. Shannon, since she has custody 1 week on, 1 week off, she's going to go out of town.
To visit Babe,
which is the weirdest nickname for a lover ever for anybody who's seen Babe.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Sophie, why doesn't Sophie do the week on, week off? Is it because of her school schedule? Like where she's maybe, probably maybe where she goes like, to school or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But either way, so Shannon's going to take a week to go visit Babe. And then she also has like a drug test out. And the kids were, like, laughing, like, oh, my God, Mom, are you seriously going to test us for drugs? She's like, no, this is your way out. Because this way, if someone tries to pressure you into doing the drugs, then you can say, well, my crazy and wonderful and good mother who does not pose nude on Instagram is forcing me to do random drug tests, so I really can't afford to lose. So, ha! No drugs for me.
The lady who smells like cauliflower, cardboard, and broccoli is giving me a drug. So she's like, yeah, well, I've got to watch you kids. And then we get a clip of them on the beach, and Stella is practicing her modeling, and Shannon's like, listen, you're taking these drug tests because you were the one who said that cocaine keeps you skinny, so if you are going to do this modeling thing, and she goes, I have to do cocaine. No!
No. I did not say be like Kelly Dodd. I did not say that. That was Vicky Gumbelson. Vicky Gumbelson made me say that.
Oh, so Gina goes to the barber shop with her kids, and it's just, I mean, really, it's as depressing as the supercuts, basically, this scene. So yeah. She's like, it's really hard being divorced and having kids. This is crazy. This is hard. And then she loses it with her kids because they're, like, running into the parking lot, and, you know, she dresses them down. She's like, that is very disappointing to me. You're very disappointing. You're an animal,
which is why I got you this sign that says, you're an animal.
So then we get, like, the episode's starting all over again for some reason. Yeah. I don't know if this last one was supposed to be. Yeah.
40 minutes in, it's like, let's see a montage of what everyone's doing.
Yeah. So Bronwyn is talking to Jacob and saying, God, when we found out you were a boy, we went to this restaurant and a baseball team came in and I started crying because I hate baseball.
I'm with you, sister.
Yeah. And then Tamara came in.
Tamara and Eddie, like, they went to Scottsdale. They're much hyped Scottsdale trip. We just hiked this mountain.
Yeah, Scottsdale.
Yeah, and then we see, like, photos of them, and there's, like, one where Eddie is, like, sitting with his legs sort of around a phallic cactus. Like,
he's
like,
got a cactus boner. That's so dumb. Yeah, that's so dumb. So then Kelly's playing, taking Jolie to tennis class, and Jolie, who was so humbled by the feeding the homeless people, that she's like, I can't wear these tennis shoes because these are for tennis, not for running, and so if I wear them, I'll get a hurt ankle.
Kelly's like, but they're $200. She's like, I don't care.
I'm just repeating what the doctor said. So
yeah.
So then Emily and Shane, God, and now we're just upping the depressing quota.
Yeah, seriously. So Emily and Shane, they get a table for two for dinner, and they sit down, and Emily's like, are you excited to be out? Because, you know, mom and dad are, like, watching the kids at home, and, you know, it's, like, really fun, and I'm really excited for this moment. And Shane's like,
Thinking.
Yes, I am excited. I'm like, there was a part of me that felt like maybe that was edited to make it look like he interrupted her. But I was like, even if he didn't interrupt her, he still said that, and it's still obnoxious.
Yeah.
And so,
he's the, like, worst.
If anything, the Bravo did him a favor by at least making his joke seem a little funnier.
Yes. But then, I hate to say it, but I do kind of see where he's coming from sometimes. Well, first of all, no, I don't. I don't yet. Later I do, because they're talking about therapy, and she's like, well, I think we should go to therapy because, like, it's not working. It's just not working, Shane. And he's like, I actually went to therapy. You were the one who kept skipping it and saying you couldn't show up and you wouldn't put in any effort. So if you want to go to therapy, why don't you go to therapy? No one's stopping you. And it's like, yeah, he's being a complete asshole. But to hear that Emily just didn't show up to therapy and completely flaked on it, like, how sorry am I supposed to feel for you
I can also imagine Emily, like, going to couples therapy with Shane and him just being a total dick and unresponsive, and it's actually, like, a very painful and hurtful thing for her, and that she'd rather just not go and, like, protect herself a little bit than deal with his assholeness.
Well, basically that's right. What she did, because she said, you know, I stopped going to therapy because, like, he wouldn't stop and he wouldn't change, and so I just stopped going. Well, first of all, you're going therapy to change Shane, which is not why you go to therapy. It's not like you're taking your God, here we go with a car being fixed. I won't go to a shitty Gina broke down car, okay? What else do you go get fixed? Anyway, you know what I mean. You can't just be like, let's go to couples therapy so I can fix you. That's not really what couples therapy is.
I think in many ways couples therapy worked because Emily started to learn that maybe what's best for her is to be away from Shane. So
yeah, that's true. Good point.
When they get to this restaurant, Emily's like, you know, Shane made a lot of progress, like when he showed up in Vegas and did, like, the bare minimum of, like, arriving in our couple's weekend for like the final 2 hours with some roses and like a jacket he got from Express Men.
Yeah.
But it turns out that once we got home, everything went back to the same. I'm like, really? What a surprise. What a shocking turn of events.
I'm absolutely shocked. So then Shane, so she's trying not to eat carbs. Yeah. So he's like, put the bread right here. Tempt her all night long. Smell the bread, Emily. Smell. Do you want to just share one piece? All right, here's what I'll order. Gnocchi on bread. Do you have a gnocchi and french fries and bread? Just all of those things. Could you just bring all of those? And it wrapped in a tortilla. That would be great.
Yeah, and Emily's like, stop. You know, and of course she just keeps on like ordering all the things that she can't have. And admittedly, you know what? She's on her own journey and she can't expect Shane to like change everything for her journey. But if he were like a nice guy or nice husband, maybe he'd say, you know what? This is hard for my wife. So I'm going to support her by like not putting tempting things in front of her.
Well, and mocking her and then ordering multiple things just to be a dick. It's like, what a fucking, what a little twerp, you know? It's the best way to put it. And
I would
so
say, I actually think the best way to put it is more like, King of Snarkasm.
So, yeah, she's like, well, I just don't know what to do because, like, for 10 years I've had a problem with how he talks to me. Okay, I hate being a broken record, but you married a guy who treated you like shit. And the guy still treats you like shit. Can we stop acting like this is an M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end of something? Like, this is not a twist, okay? So you did this to yourselves, and now you've put three children in the wake of this monster. So
but then she's like, you keep saying to me that I'm not nice. He goes, so we can save the therapy money, and then, you know, you can just be nice. I'm like...
Yeah,
I'm like
just...
I'm really holding it in. I'm really trying not to upgrade him from King of Snarkasm to the next tier, but it's getting there. It's getting real close.
Yeah, he's a monster. The end. Stop marrying monsters, ladies. Okay,
yeah.
Stop it.
And well, but no, but then he's like, but here's the thing though, is that like she's like, you know, I just like want the. She's like, I know I have an anger problem, but one of the reasons why my anger comes out. Is because you speak to me in such a condescending way. And he goes, well, if you think it's really worthwhile, no one's stopping you from going. I'm like, do you not see what she just said? She basically is saying, you're condescending to me. And your response was to be super condescending.
Truth, but, you know, and I hate doing this, but at the same time, she's the one who quit going to therapy. And now she's doing it again where she's coming on camera to talk about what a terrible husband he is and not going to therapy. And he's like, you're the one who quit therapy. And now you're bringing me on to cry and look like a fucking victim again. What the fuck, lady? So, again, the guy's a fucking idiot. You shouldn't have married him. But what are you doing? You know?
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like. You know, I'm giving her a pass for quitting the therapy, and here's the reason why. Because he really is so awful, and you know what, like, she is probably just, like, in an awful place, and I just think that, like, she makes one transgression, and then she's, like, just as bad as he is. No, she, like, yes, she should have stayed in therapy, and she should have worked at it rather than complain about, like, I want to go back to therapy, whatever. Yes, but he's still terrible, and if he really cared about his marriage, and she's saying that she's ready to go back to therapy, then he should be like, yes, I will do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm very uncomfortable being on Shane's side even a little bit, so I'm just going to roll with that.
Okay. Well, here's what you should really be rolling with. You should be rolling with the culinary delights that come from Sea Legs Restaurant. Yeah. Because that's where we go to now. Sea Legs. It's a Sea Legs wine bar, which we know is fancy because it says Pinot Noir on the windows.
Yeah. Sea Legs Pinot Noir.
Yeah. What do they have in this wine bar? Do they have Pinot Noir? Oh, it's on the window. Okay.
Yeah. And doesn't getting your sea legs mean like, oh, now you don't feel seasick anymore? Isn't that what that means? When you get
your
sea legs?
There, you know, there's so many C words that come out of this show, so it's sometimes hard to know.
My new gem, sea legs.
Sea legs next Tuesday. When do you want to go there? I don't know. How about Sea Legs next Tuesday?
My friend Alicia owns this place. She's my friend.
Ooh. Yeah, there was like a lot of Alicia talk. I was like, oh, my friend Alicia. And I was like, hey, girl, good to see you. Oh, Alicia.
It's Alicia.
Like,
oh, my God. It's Alicia. Alicia.
It's Alicia. Oh, my God. It's so good to see you again. Oh. Do you want just like... You just want, you want, what, you want to order something? You want me to bring out a bunch of food? Alicia!
Alicia! So, Shannon comes in.
All my neighbors are going nuts, probably. They're like, what is happening up there? Like, what air raid siren is coming from that apartment?
So, let's see here. So, Shannon comes in, and she's a little uncomfortable because she's not with Tamara. Or Vicky, you know, and yes. She always acts a little different when she doesn't have her backup crew. So she's like, ha, look at me. Hi, it's fun, Shannon. There's a hot guy in the bar.
Yeah, she's like doing like her big like going under a bridge on a little boat thing. Like her, she's got that big time, like ducking and laughing. And she's like, ah, you know what? I don't hunt man at a bar. I go to a bar and I sit down. And if someone's going to come up to me, then maybe we might have a relationship, okay? And fall in love. And then he can take me to a gastropub where they serve very sugary sauces. And then somehow I'm the one at fault.
Well, oh, I'm going to tell you this. I will not be the man in a relationship.
And this is like the second or third thing in this episode that's like, dude, does the patriarchy own this entire show? Like, what is with like the fucking everything's like gender? Like, the man does this. You can't play baseball because you're a boy. You have to play baseball. It's like, Jesus, where do you people live? It's like 2020 almost. Come on.
You know what? Actually, the original name of the restaurant was called Patriarchy Legs, but it just didn't have quite the same name. Thank God Alicia changed that.
Yeah.
So Bronwyn was talking about how she's a pleaser and she got herself into trouble. She's pleasing to a detriment. She's always talking about how she's a pleaser. It's like, Bronwyn, you have 9 kids. We know you like to please. But so they start talking, and Kelly starts confronting Bronwyn about like what she allegedly said. And before we even get too deep into the scene, I have to say, this was like one of the most rewarding scenes for me ever. It's like, I'm trying to remember what movie it's like a movie or a show or something where like everyone has different pieces of information and you're waiting forever for them all to like come together and exchange notes. And they like the entire series, they never exchange their notes. And then finally the moment comes when they exchange their notes and then everyone realizes what's going on. And I was like,
yes.
I was like breathing like heavily. I was like, this is the most exciting, exhilarating moment.
I know. In Orange County history. And it gets so frustrating because they're so close to solving the mystery, but they just, they're just not asking the right questions. Especially Kelly. Yes. Kelly does it this entire episode where everyone keeps skipping the main piece of information. So nothing is ever solved. So yeah, so here we go. So Kelly's like, okay, Bronwyn, so yesterday Tamara said that you said that I got into a fight in front of Brian's kid. And she goes, no. Emily's like, no, she did not say that. She says, yeah. And then you said you made it sound like I stayed and I partied. Like I just stayed there. And Emily's like, nope, that's not what happened. And Shannon, who knows that she's about to get caught in some bullshit, is like, No. No one said that. What we said was we got the impression that you stayed. Cut to a clip of Shannon going, well, you know, you wanted to argue with Brian and he pulled his kid out and you just stayed and left alone. You know, you just stayed and partied and he left alone. I'm like, oh my God, here we go.
Yeah.
Lie after lie, unraveling.
So Emily starts to clearly explain the entire situation. She speaks in like a very like measured way. And amazingly, it actually works. And Kelly starts to understand. She's like, ooh. She's like, oh, see, now I feel bad. I feel bad. I was being such a dork. Oh, I should have come at her with love instead of, you know, calling her a trashy whore who I only want to go to her funeral for. I'm sorry.
Yes. And Bronwyn's like, okay, let's just start from the beginning. And then they skip it again because she's like, okay, Emily, tell her what happened. So Emily's like, well, the reason you came up as a topic... Now, what she should have said was because Tamara said that you got into a bar fight, right? But she doesn't say that. She goes, you came up as a topic because you weren't there. And then the conversation came up, are they doing okay, Kelly and Brian? And then And Shannon's like, yeah, you were the one who said that, Emily. You were the one who said her there. Yeah, there, Shannon's okay. Always, and Emily's like, I did say Emily. That because I had seen on Instagram a story where Kelly said they broke up. And then it shows a clip of Shannon going, well, Tamara told us she got in a bar fight this weekend. But yeah. It's still not coming out in the conversation. So it's still like that frustrating mystery time, right?
Yeah. But finally, like Emily starts to say, like, no, they thought there was a whole big bar fight. And basically Bronwyn was saying, no, all that happened, like, I saw them and it was like, fine. That's essentially what Emily said.
Yeah.
Obviously not verbatim.
Yeah.
And
pretty
so that's
much.
That's when Kelly's like, oh, I see. You were trying to stand up for me. And then Kelly's telling us, like, gosh, I really should have like not jumped to conclusions, and I should have come to Bronwyn from a place of love instead of just like daggers out.
Right, because this is Tamara's pattern. She drops a bomb and then just walks away.
And I was like, oh my god, I think it's happening.
And then guess what?
It's happening.
The motherfucking Bravo waiter comes over and tries to ruin the entire scene.
yes, exactly. So then Emily starts asking questions. She goes, Emily, she's like, so why did it come up that Bronwyn was talking shit at this thing? And so Shannon's like, oh, well, I have a perfectly benign thing. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. So basically, Kelly came to us, and she said that we were talking shit. That Bronwyn called her to say that we were talking shit. Bronwyn was. And Tamara said, no, it was Bronwyn who was talking shit the whole time. See, innocent.
Completely
hot guy,
innocent.
Hot guy at the bar. Hot guy.
Shannon's that person in the mystery movie that you're thinking, well, obviously she's not the killer because she's acting so guilty, right? Like she sips, like she has her cup, her Shannon Boldore cup, which you can see right now on Crappens On Demand, which I have here. But she's sipping her cup like this. Like, looking at the side of her cup, like, oh, I totally she's killed that maid. And I bet nobody can see that I killed her, right?
She's basically at this point deciding whether or not she's going to stand up for Tamara or hedge her bets and sort of jump ship. You
yes.
know, be with these girls or whatever.
Because she's
really
a fucking accessory, that's why. She's an accessory to bet.
Yeah, betched her. But here was like the smoking gun moment. The moment we've been waiting for, that we've been complaining about all season long, is that Bronwyn finally drops the bomb and is like, well, you know, when we're all sitting there talking about the train, it was Tamara who brought up the train, not Vicky.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. I was like, dun. First of all, it's like, I can't believe it took this long for Bronwyn to say that. But like the moment she said that, Kelly's eyes bulged, and like in that instant, Kelly understood exactly what was happening. She figured it all out.
Yes. So she's like, yeah, Tamara said that, and I didn't know anybody well enough at the time to say anything, but now that I see how this is playing out, and then we see the clip of Tamara doing it, and then Bronwyn's like, all I was doing was trying to defend you. So Kelly's like, oh, so Tamara was the one trying to spread the train rumor. I had no idea. I thought it was Vicky.
Yeah. And then, so now Kelly is starting to feel like, she's like saying, she's starting to feel sick to her stomach, you know? And then Emily's like, yeah, and you know what? When Gina got mad at me about that blind date setup, that whole situation, Tamara was the first person she talked to. And Shannon, and then it cuts to Shannon, and she's just like sitting there
sipping.
Because it's like a combination. Now
oh,
there's also
this
like
is a very hot margarita. I'm just sipping it like very hot tea right now. Okay.
But Shannon is also like she's thinking about like how is she going to defend herself when she gets dragged into it? How is she going to like separate herself from Tamara? And on top of that, being mindful enough to hear all the details so she can report back immediately to Tamara.
And not have Tamara turn on her and blame everything on her because she has been complicit. So Tamara can easily turn this back around on her, which she will. Oh, she will.
Yeah. So Emily's like, you know, so during that whole situation, instead of trying to facilitate a positive outcome, Tamara made the situation worse. I was like, yep. I was like, they're all getting it. It's finally happening.
Yes. And she's like, she's just trying to stir up problems with people and act like she has clean hands. And Bronwyn's like, yeah, she likes to manipulate all of us, so we're fighting amongst ourselves. And Shannon's just sipping away. And Kelly goes, oh, yeah, well, I talked to her. She talks smack. Well, guess what? You know, don't think for one second that lady has your back, because she doesn't, Shannon. You should see some of the fucked up shit she says about you. And then she just starts eating.
I was like, oh my God. It's like, we've been waiting all season for people to realize what's going on. And then they are. It's like, is this really happening? And Shannon's like, about me? Are you serious? Negative?
Negative?
About me?
She's like, negative? Yep.
And then
about me?
Negative? You serious?
Are you serious, Megan King? Like, she had that Megan King Edmonds tone in her voice. And then the editors go, one day earlier.
Yeah, they don't even have to go into the archives. They literally just go to yesterday. And you see Shannon getting up from the table, like, literally walking away. And she's 10 feet away. And Tamara immediately turns to Kelly and goes, she wanted me to come today and go after you. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. She wants to catch you.
It's so good. It's so good. So then they show another clip of Kelly telling Tamara, Shannon just wants to say that I'm wrong all the time, you know? Should I say how obnoxious she is, calling us at 3 a.m, wasted? And Tamara goes, you could do that, because it's the truth. Why don't you do it? Why don't you?
I mean, this was like 24 hours ago. Shannon's like in the bathroom. I mean, it's just like, it's just so easy for the producers to pull the footage, right?
Yeah.
So then it comes back to the present, and Shannon's still going, are you serious?
Negative?
Are you serious?
Negative? Serious?
Negative? Are you serious?
Whoa! Negative?
David? Negative? Chandelier? Salmon? Cream cheese? Dr. Moon?
Psychological debris! Psychological debris!
So Kelly's like, yeah! Yeah! She says that she says that you're kissing every guy at the bar! Shannon's like,
And she called Gina last night. She said, hey, Gina, why don't you and me and Kelly room on the next trip? Yeah, she said that. Oh, remember when that woman bonked you on the head? Which is her. Isn't she talking about herself?
Yeah, well, right. No, but she said.
she said, and when that woman bonked you on the head.
No, she didn't say that. I think she said, remember what. She said, she told me that when I bonked you on the head, there was nothing wrong with you. And then there was like a text and there was like a GIF or a video of that thing that went viral, I don't know, a few months ago, of the lady in the courtroom. And Bravo showed it again, which was great because it's so hilarious.
And it's called, it's called Woman Fakes an Injury.
Yeah. So Kelly drops all this.
You were going to explain that. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just adding
to it. No, it was fine. It was just that, like, that Tamara sent this video, which was sort of like, ha, ha, ha.
Because this woman was sitting in a courtroom, and a lady was passing by her with a folder. And very serious, you know. So videotape, it was caught in a courtroom video camera. And so she walks past her with her folder, and she just kind of pops her on the back of the head with it really lightly. And the lady takes a big, long pause, and then goes, oh, and falls to the ground.
Hurls herself onto the ground. It's such a funny clip.
And Tamara wrote, oh my God, is that Shannon? LOL. Like a laughing emoji.
So now they have, like, it's like they've unmasked Shannon. What do they call it? What do they call it when they do that? Like, I remember that happened to Taylor Swift when Taylor Swift acted like she was so upset about Kanye West lyrics. And then, like, and then they, like, showed footage of Kim Kardashian calling Taylor Swift, saying, like, hey, these are what the lyrics are going to be. And Taylor Swift was like, yeah, that's great.
Love it.
It was like Taylor Taylor revealed or Taylor unmasked or something.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's basically what was happening with Tamara. It is so amazing. But here's the thing, okay? I've played enough video games and I've watched enough superhero movies to know that this is only the first form of Tamara's villainy. People think that they got her. No, this is that moment when, like, Ganon and Zelda goes from being like some like powerful knight to like a 5-story high monster, and that's what's gonna happen to Tamara now.
Oh yeah,
they will not survive.
Yeah, you know, I think it was the guy who created Lost. I was reading some interview, and they said, well, how did you approach season 2 when season 1 was already so mysterious? And he said, you know, the biggest trick in writing a series that's so long is, if there's zombies coming after people, okay, they kill the zombies at the end of season 2, but then you find out there are more
a lot more.
That's what it's like with Tamara. It's like, do you think you're going to take down Tamara over this one innocent thing? This is Tamara taking the season off, being bored, and letting you guys yes. fight. This is not Tamara being Tamara's most disgusting yeah. self. And she will be back. You are just yeah. watering the Tamara plant. You are watering
you
the bitch
don't
flower.
Know what you're messing with. Yep. Okay, it's like, no. Like, she, like, Tamara is, like, pretty much all powerful when it comes to villainy, and they don't even know. Like, there's really, truly no villain like her.
Because
Bravo,
they fall for it. They fall for it every single time. And then they pretend, Tamara pretends that she's their friend. And they always fall for it. And then they start telling her things. And then Tamara mm-hmm. gets a dossier of all the shit that they've told her. And then she just starts ruining their lives, ticking it right. off one by one.
And she has a loyal soldier in Shannon who she can easily manipulate. And Shannon, once manipulated, Shannon just, like, breeds chaos, and then everyone gets distracted from, like, really the whole situation, which is what's been happening. But for the moment, they've pulled the wool off of Shannon's eyes. Because don't forget that Shannon hated Tamara her first season. They were enemies, okay? Do not forget that. So
Tamara would have had her committed to a literal mental asylum. Do you remember that? Oh, my yes. God. Like, her and Heather Dubrow are like, oh, my God, she might need help. Should we call somebody? Look at her. She's really losing it.
Yeah, exactly. Shannon, the reason why Shannon hated Tamara was because Tamara went around and told everyone about issues with David. So there you go.
Yeah.
So either way, the women are now, like, unmasking Tamara for Shannon. And at first I thought Shannon was just not going to hear any of it. But they know exactly how to win over Shannon, at least temporarily. They're like, yeah. And they're saying that you're gaining weight. She's saying you're gaining weight. And Chad's like,
what? Now she's saying I'm gaining weight? David.
I told her I was gaining weight. So how would Kelly know that?
It's like, that's how you finally get Shannon, is just by bringing up weight. And she's like, oh, I'm on their side now. How dare she?
And Bronwyn's like, this is your best friend, right? This is your best friend, and you talk every day. And Shannon's like, yeah, well, you know, 12 times a day, yes. I'm like, 12 times a day?
Oh, God. So she's like, oh, God, well, this hurts, especially after last year. We went to hell and back. And then we get a clip of the reunion of Tamara telling her she's exhausting as a human being, basically. And then she's like, well, I guess I don't trust her anymore. And Kelly's like, she's two-faced. She is two-faced. I'll tell her right to both of her faces. She's two-faced.
And then Shannon goes on the most hilarious miniature emotional journey. She's like,
I don't know if I can keep it in. I want to cry. I want to cry right now. I would like to cry. What I'm feeling inside me is tears that would like to come down my cheeks. But I'm going to keep them in. I am going to talk to Tamara and find out what happens.
And then Kelly's like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to talk to Tamara, and you talked to her last year. And Kelly's like,
the Shannon Storms Bador a year ago would have been in tears, but I'm holding the back and I'm not going to cry.
I'm like, good for you, Shannon. You held back a tear. And by the way, you did cry.
Yeah, so you literally were crying during this sentence, but okay. So Emily is like, finally, right? So Emily's like, oh, well, where do we go from here? Because now they have this huge new thing and they're all excited that they have somebody to fight with who deserves it. You know?
Yeah.
So Emily's like, it's not going to stop. It's just who she is. But this is going to be fun to watch.
Yep, it will.
And that is the end of that.
Yeah, this is not going to end well. Tamara's going to do one of three things. She's going to just run away like she did when they went to Bali that one time when she ran across.
Yeah, she's
going to
run away. You'll never see me again, bitch!
She will pretend to be having a breakdown like in Ireland. Or she will just consolidate her power and just obliterate Kelly with just, like, her evilness.
Yeah, well, we see in the previews that she's just going to straight up blame Shannon, which is hilarious.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because you see how she's working the whole season when she's getting Shannon to say things. She's getting everybody to say things that she can say, well, Shannon's the one who said this. And the thing about Tamara, she does it right in front of their face. You know, she was doing that at that lunch with Shannon where she's just throwing Shannon under the bus. And then Shannon tries to throw Tamara right back under the bus. But girl, nope. She got you, because Tamara can lie and not feel guilty about it, where you can't. You're sipping your drink all crazy, and like, Shannon will start losing her shit. And like you said, breed chaos, you know, just lose
it. And you know what? Actually, and if all else fails, she'll just pin it all on Vicky. Not even a cast member. Easy mark. So that was it for Orange County. I loved it. I thought it was so good. I was thoroughly entertained. You guys, we are going to be back. We're going to post our Maritime Medicine recap after this. And come see us in Florida this week. It'll be so fun. And go to watchcrappins.com for those tickets. Come see us wherever we're going, because we're going to a lot of places. We're looking forward to it. Love you guys, and we will talk to you later. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
This November.
You think you do it for the money?
It's the game, the adrenaline rush. What if it is?
Prepare to read between the lines.
How much do you think she's worth?
I'm going to take it all.
The Good Liar is gripping and deliciously deceptive, says Baz Bamigboy, Daily Mail. Intelligent and brilliant, a must-see movie. Event, mail on Sunday.
It's very peculiar. Secrets between you, God, the devil and the dead.
Starring Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen. The Good Liar. In cinemas Friday. Book tickets now. Certificate 15.